Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we stand in awe of those words that incorporate us into a family that extends from Adam, extends from Abraham, extends through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the words of that psalm that were fulfilled in Christ and come to us today and extend to our children and our grandchildren and future generations. And Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we recognize that this has been practiced for so many years. And all this will find its culmination one day when you come again, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and heal our broken world. Amen. Well, good morning to you all. Next slide, please. It's a pleasure to say Happy Father's Day to you. And this is a photo that was taken of some of my family. I took the photo. So we have two of my children and their family in this picture. And with my parents, I just tried to call my parents, my father before this, our service, but the phone was engaged. I guess he was talking to someone else and they don't have internet. So, or they don't use internet. So, it has to be by a phone call. You know, I have, some good positive memories of my father and I hope my children have positive memories of me. It's something that we keep working on. But I recognize that for some of us, it's not a happy day. It has some very, very negative memories. Now, originally, I planned to see your faces at Castle Hill today. That was the plan. And my parents live just up the road at in Glen Haven. And so I was going to leave the service with you and go to Glen Haven and see them and have lunch with them today. And that's, I guess, a symbol of how much has changed in these recent months. Perhaps you're wondering why do we read a psalm of lament, such as Psalm 22, on what should be a happy Father's Day? And so next slide. I want to recognize that for many of us, Father's Day is not such a happy day. And we lament. And the last few weeks, we have seen through the media some horrendous scenes of human suffering, particularly, say, in Afghanistan. We're also aware that there are places where the media can no longer get. We no longer get photos. Myanmar, you can't get photos really of what's going on at the moment. Northern Nigeria, northern Ethiopia, many parts of the world, we can't see what the tragedies that are unfolding there. And just we've just received, I and I have just received a newsletter from a Nigerian colleague in the north. They're describing the ongoing tragedy of lost lives, lost homes, loss of trust, a loss of confidence in the government and the army to protect, devastating Fulani raids made against Christians at in the center of Nigeria, close to where SAM began. But 22 years ago, Diane and I finished our work in Peru, as some of you know, and we became involved in a global pandemic that many of us have forgotten about now, that this pandemic continues quietly until the present. And millions have died through it, and millions have been orphaned, and millions have suffered from it. And that is HIV and AIDS. So that has been a huge personal and ministry commitment by us. Now, next slide. Many of our friends are concerned for parts of the world which are really, really struggling. I some of you are from Malaysia, and I recognize what a difficult struggle has been with COVID there. You know, we've all lost so much from COVID, and that's symbolized on Father's Day. We've lost the opportunity to be face-to-face, to eat together, to sing together, to laugh together, to experience a caring, touching hand, perhaps in sickness and even end of life. We've had many stories of that. It's hard to really celebrate a special day like today when we cannot meet and we cannot eat together. But I'm blessed. I can call my father and I know he is doing well. A few weeks ago, Diane lost an uncle, lives not far away from here, but she was not even able to gather with her aunt who lives up the road, who the deceased man's sister-in-law. So Diane couldn't meet with her aunt to watch the funeral on Zoom. She couldn't get there to be together. So next slide. So this morning I'm asking you, what are you grieving? I just want to look at this now. There's a biblical word for this, and we call it lament. We need to learn to lament. We need to find solidarity with God's suffering people. We need to experience COVID as a trial meant to shape us into the image of Christ. And as we saw while suffering on the cross, Jesus did something with a long history amongst God's people. He lamented from the Psalms, and specifically from Psalm 22. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. What are some of the other words that we could use for lament, perhaps more common words today? Words like to grieve, to mourn, to groan, to cry. I wonder what word you have in the language you were born in. You could put it in the chat if you like. What words do you, in other languages, do you have for this word lament? In any case, let's think about what lament is from a biblical perspective. The essence of lament is the charge that God is not acting like God. He has failed to rescue his people in their time of need. So we can think of the lament, the book we call Job. And Job says, although I am not guilty, no one can rescue me from God's hands. We can think of the prophets, such as the prophet Habakkuk, who says those famous words, how long, O Lord, must I cry? I call for help, but you do not listen. Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not save. We can think of Jeremiah, the lamenting prophet. Do you know that somewhere between 40 and 60 psalms in our Bible are actually psalms of lament? We can think of John chapter 11 and Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus arrives, and Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see, Martha's lament for her brother's death is deepened by Jesus' absence, by God's absence. So let's think more about lament. You see, lament is poetry. Lament is tears. I don't know how poetry functions in your tradition. Many cultures have a form of poetry. But in Jewish tradition, poetry attempts to put into speech that which is too deep for words, literally to speak that which is unspeakable. We can no longer speak literally. It's too painful. It's too close. It's too huge. Only word pictures will do. So here we have a form of lament. Jesus weeping over the loss of his good friend Lazarus to the human enemy of death. And he uses the image of sleep. And elsewhere, he weeps over stubborn Jerusalem as it heads towards destruction. What image does he use? The image of a mother hen caring for her chickens as a symbol of God caring for his people. Who among you has cried out to God, perhaps recently, perhaps today, over physical sickness leading towards death in you or a loved one, or over sin and spiritual sickness, a wayward child, a lost opportunity to go somewhere in life, the loss of a career or financial crisis that has threatened or caused ruin? Your cry is words without words. Do you echo the words of the psalmist in Psalm 22 or perhaps in Psalm 13, who says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die." So what is lament? In lament, the Almighty God does not speak, or if he speaks, he does not answer. He does not justify himself. The person lamenting is inviting or demanding that God answer, that God will look at the injustice and the pain. Psalm 35, verse 17, "How long, O Lord, will you look on and do nothing?" How many of us have asked God, "Why does HIV or cancer or COVID come to this house, to this family?" But there's silence. God does not answer, at least not in a way that satisfies our heartache. So what is lament? The one lamenting cannot see the reason for the suffering. Job never learns why he has suffered so much and lost so much. We gain insights in Job 1 and 2, and we know that there's a positive ending. But these insights are hidden from Job. Or we go to the book of Ruth, where Naomi laments the loss of a husband and sons and a future. She doesn't know that her daughter-in-law Ruth will give birth to a son in the line of King David and the Messiah. Or we turn to Lamentations, where the writer only sees the destruction of Jerusalem and laments that God failed to rescue his people, that the writer can't see the glory of the real temple, the Messiah. And God is under no obligation to satisfy our big question of why. So what is lament? In lament, the call is to trust God when all else seems hopeless, when it seems purposeless. That's what lament really is. Complaining to the God who is, according to his nature of caring for his people and his creation. Complaining, my God, why have you abandoned me? Cries Jesus on the cross, lamenting that the God who should be close to us has abandoned his people. So Jesus calls the Father's attention to this abandoning. We read in Matthew 27, "At noon the darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus calls out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?'" Now, see, this is not a lack of faith or a lack of hope. It is a lament that the Father, who has been closely with him since eternity, has now abandoned him. The light has gone and darkness has descended. So what is lament? Well, finally, and always in lament, there is hope. That's what makes Christian, Jewish, biblical lament, lament. There is hope. Hope because God will answer and act. We do not understand his ways or his times, but he will be true to his character. And this can happen in the midst of scoffing of others saying, "Where is your God?" We have hope. So in the same psalm that Selena read so beautifully, that says, my God, why have you abandoned me? We also hear, for he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. What beautiful words. You see, Psalm 22 is not a lack of faith. It's not despair. It's actually an act of faith. And God is glorified by your groans and sighs in this time of COVID or whatever you're going through. Sometimes these sighs get turned into words, but even if those words do not make sense, humanly speaking, they do make sense to God. So, a couple of points in conclusion to help us move forward. You know, living in Asia, one of my saddest memories has been to go to a Buddhist funeral, to hear the cries of those who have no hope. Only rebirth and more suffering and more suffering and more suffering, because that is what any sense of life is about. Now, just before we left Singapore, we finally went with some friends to Haw Par Villa. I don't know if any of you know that place. It has the 10 courts of hell. It is graphic. I think there's a next slide to go with it, maybe. Have we got that? Nope, we've lost it. Okay, sorry. So Haw Par Villa has the 10 courts of hell. If you want to find it online, I can give you the URL. It's incredibly graphic. Okay. Now, according to Orthodox Buddhist teaching, there's nothing and no one to hear your cries. There's no mercy. There's no hope. But in popular and Chinese teaching, there your children can make merit so that you can escape from hell, a terrible, terrible place. And so we have hope in a God in whom we live and move and have our being. As we read in Psalm 22, the families of the nations will be gathered together. I look at FBBC as a church where this is symbolized, the families of the nations coming together. Okay, now we do it with some lament, we do it virtually. But we know that one day we will be able to do it again, and one day we will actually be doing it for all eternity. Isn't that exciting? If you are suffering, God has broad shoulders. Tell him what you are thinking. It is not lack of faith to get angry or frustrated with God. You are allowed to scream and yell at God. If God the Son could cry out on the cross that the Father had abandoned him, you can do the same in your pain. So talk to God about it. Now, the second thing is, listen well to those who are suffering. I really want to emphasize this point. And this is something we can learn from the book of Job. What I want to say to you is Christians who want to comfort those who are suffering should never criticize or correct. They should never, never accuse the sufferer of lack of faith. Let's learn from Job's counselors. And the title in the book, in my version, is Job's three friends share his anguish. That's lovely. That's what we want. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw his suffering was too great for words. Friends, if only they had continued to comfort Job in this way, they would have been the best of counselors. I commend this to you. They were being wonderful comforters in a time of Job's suffering. Let us learn from them. In this first week, they did exactly what they needed to do, and let's do the same. So, this is homework for you. I want you to reflect on your experience, your personal experience with lament, for you or for someone close to you, someone that you could observe. When did you learn? When did you lament? Or when should you have lamented and you didn't? What gave you the freedom or stopped you having the freedom to lament? What was helpful or not helpful to you at the time? And remember, the time to lament can go on for months or years. And if we do not lament well, the pain can go on and on. How did you experience it? In yourself or in others? And who was an important part of this? Or who should have been part of it but could not? Where was God in all this experience that you had? Now, when you think through this, please share it with someone else. It will help you, and it may be a help to them. Pray before you do that. Choose the right person. And, you know, that person may reflect back to you with their own story of lament. Now, just to finish, I put a book there on the right by my wonderful brother, Ajith Fernando in Sri Lanka, who has been a blessing to many. And this book, which was awarded a great honor, is called The Call to Joy and Pain. And he says, the overwhelming attitude of the Bible regarding pain and suffering in the life of the Christian is positive. What a beautiful statement. That's a topic for another time. If today is a happy Father's Day for you, then please celebrate. If it is a day of sadness, then you have my permission to lament. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us models of lament, instructions for lament in your holy word. And so, Father, help us today on this day of Father's Day to recognize that it is both a bittersweet day for many of us. And help us to give us the freedom, we pray, through your Holy Spirit, to be able to lament for the grief that we carry, even if it's the inability to meet together with family today because of COVID, because they live a long way away, because they live overseas, wherever it is, Lord. Some of us are carrying the grief of deceased fathers and grandfathers of all sorts of reasons. Help us, Lord, to honestly come before you today and then prayerfully to be able to share that with another person. Father, thank you that in Psalm 22, we recognize that you are a God who understands lament. We want to commit our lament to you in his name. Amen. Thank you.